In one day, April 25th, 2011, more than 6 inches of rain fell on Prairie Grove. That's around 1.5 times what you'd normally expect for the whole month. According to the National Weather Service in Tulsa, during 7 days from April 21st through 28th that year, portions of Benton and Washington counties were inundated with between 12 and 16 inches of rain. The widespread flash flooding led to 5 deaths in northwest Arkansas. And here's the bad news. According to a report released by climate scientists last month, extreme rain events like that are the new normal. The National Climate Assessment, put together by 300 experts and guided by a 60-member federal advisory committee, says the amount of precipitation falling in heavy rainstorms is up by as much as 71% since the mid-20th century in some parts of the country. Ozarks at Largest Sara Birmingham recently spoke to Steve Boss, professor of environmental dynamics and sustainability at the University of Arkansas, who says, welcome to the future.
Globally, the expectation is that under a warming world that rainfall events will increase in frequency and also intensity worldwide. In our own region, that's expected to be true as well. So we'll see probably more frequent rainfall events, and some of those rainfall events are going to be more intense than we're accustomed to.
So the prediction was there for a while. It's been there for a while that we were going to have this more intense rain. Not just more rain, but these sort of cloudbursts. Thought it was going to happen. It is happening. But the rate at which they have increased is some pretty big numbers in terms of how quickly that's ramping up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and when they talk about these extreme precipitation events, we're talking about the upper 1% of rainfall events. And so the most extreme events, the top 1%, those are the events that we're seeing become more extreme. And those events have increased in intensity or the amount of precipitation they produce by, in our area, about 25 to 27%. It's pretty significant.
And why does a warming world mean these sort of more intense bursts?
So in a warming world, a warmer atmosphere is capable of holding more water vapor. And so as the atmosphere achieves saturation under those conditions with respect to water vapor, more water vapor then can precipitate out.
Rather than it just being necessarily a constant drizzle, as someone from England is very familiar with, why is it sort of that intense, those intense bursts, the kind of downpours that we've seen here in Fayetteville, where it's really caused the kind of runoff that no storm drain system can handle?
Sure. Well, again, in an atmosphere where you're getting more absolute quantities of moisture, we live in the mid-latitude region here where our weather patterns are dominated by frontal systems of various kinds. And those frontal systems, we're accustomed to kind of downpours anyway. Summer, you know, intense summer thunderstorm pattern is kind of the pattern that we expect. In a world where we're still going to be dominated by frontal weather systems and there's more water vapor in the atmosphere, there's going to be more instability in the atmosphere, so you're going to get greater amounts of convective activity and convective thunderstorms, and those storms are just going to have more water in total to drop, and so they're going to do that. And obviously we have seen increases in precipitation here. I mean, I think locally we've talked to people that they kind of imagine that, gee, there's a lot of more intense storms here, and that's not their imagination, that's actually real, that's happening.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, as is often discussed, the difference between weather and climate. A single weather event, someone will say, oh, you know, is this climate change? And of course, climate scientists say, well, we don't know. but in terms of the trends, that's accurate. Then when someone sort of makes a broad observation, people who've lived in a place for a long time and they notice things about the seasons maybe and the character of the weather.
That's right. That's exactly right. When you make those longer-term generalizations, you're generalizing about some experience you're having in the climate system. And in climatology, the standard time interval that climatologists use to define climate is 30 years.
There are also observations that the rate of warming seems to have slowed. Why do we know why that is, and do we expect that to continue?
Yes. Over the last decade or so, the rate of warming seems to have slowed somewhat. And part of that is that we're now making observations, or we have observational data from the oceans. And much of the heat that's been trapped on Earth is being trapped in the oceans right now. And the expectation is that that will be a process that may go on for some time. But eventually, that process will slow down, too. And once that happens, we will go back to accelerated rate of warming that we'd seen throughout most of the 20th century. And so the expectation of the scientific community is that when warming comes back on pace, it's going to come back with a vengeance, and we're going to see very rapid warming. And we have other things going on in the climate system right now that are, I think, very telling and a little bit scary in some regards. In the Arctic in particular, we're seeing excessive amounts of warming in the Arctic and at both poles, really, but it's most pronounced in the Arctic right now. We're seeing rapid declines of the summer sea ice in the Arctic Ocean. I was just reading a paper yesterday. They're projecting forward in time, looking at just the historical rate of decline of Arctic sea ice in the summer, that they expect there may well be no sea ice in the Arctic Ocean by the summer of 2016. And so that's really close. And once the Arctic Ocean is ice-free, worldwide climate and weather patterns will change very dramatically. And we don't know what that world looks like because we haven't had a world with no ice in the Arctic Ocean before.
Ever.
Not in human history.
Based on the information that we currently have, based on what came out with through the National Climate Assessment, what can we expect in our region? I mean, you've mentioned that we can expect those more intense rainfalls, more rain, more extremes, I suppose, because we just had a really, really, really cold winter, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know, the winter was very, very cold for us and across much of the United States. Elsewhere in the world, it was excessively warm. And if you can think back to the January, February timeframe in Australia, which is, of course, their summertime, the Australian Open tennis match was called off, and they had to play matches at night because it was too hot in the day to play. That's never happened either. And so worldwide, you know, the rest of the world has been much, much warmer than normal. We just happen to be cold this year. We're not likely to be as cold, you know, next year. That cold spot may be somewhere else on the world. That's kind of part of the variability that we see in the climate system on an annual basis. But overall, the globe is warming, and we're on track right now for 2014 potentially to become the warmest year on record.
Is there anything people can do to sort of prepare?
I think there's a lot of things that we can do to expect changes to take place and beware that we may see an agricultural system that becomes more drought-prone or more flood-prone, and to sort of be a little bit proactive in thinking forward. You know, pay attention to climate predictions. I mean, we do have climate prediction scientists, and we do make predictions out 3 or 4 months in advance. Try to plan ahead. Try to pay attention to those things. Our predictive ability is getting better. It's not perfect by any stretch, but it's getting better over time. And I think that we need to start paying more attention to those things and be thinking about, you know, the types of crops that we might grow here, and how we might manage these more extreme climate events. If droughts become more frequent and flood events become more frequent, we're going to have to adapt our agriculture to accommodate those things. And we know when droughts are most likely to occur. We know when floods are most likely to occur. And we may have to shift our growing season somewhat, and that'll be possible in a warming world to do that.
And then just in terms of the geography of where we are, you're talking about the frontal systems that affect us. Why is it sort of that, you know, there's often the definitions are west of the Mississippi or east of the Rockies? Why are those things significant?
Well, so in our part of the world here, east of the Great Plains and really through much of the Great Plains, we come under influence of circulation from the Gulf of Mexico. So when we have southwesterly winds here, the clash of this warm, moist air coming northward from the Gulf of Mexico, interacting with air coming from the west, which is generally cooler and drier air. And when those two air masses get together, you get great instability in the atmosphere, and you drive short-term but very intense convective events. So the big thunderstorms we see in the summertime, or particularly in the springtime and sometimes in the fall here, are driven by those interactions in the atmosphere. I think it's important that people, you know, really start to pay attention to the climate science. I think the climate science community is getting better at communicating results to the general public, and I think it's time that if you haven't paid attention to it, you know, start paying attention to it and, you know, be prepared to be as adaptable as you can be going forward.
That was Steve Boss, Professor of Environmental Dynamics and Sustainability at the University of Arkansas, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Sarah Birmingham. You can read the National Climate Assessment online at nca2014.globalchange.gov.